Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Marino.
If you have your Bibles with me, let's get into the Word. Psalms 100, the title of my message today is Thanksgiving Now. Thanksgiving Now. How many are grateful this morning? How many woke up this morning saying, thank you, Lord, for another day? Amen. Or maybe you forgot. Praise the Lord. In Psalms 100, I'm going to read just verse 1 and we'll go on from there. Psalms 100, verse 1, please. Hallelujah. Don't stay quiet on me. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Father, we thank you for your word. Now speak to us, Holy Spirit. May we never forget, Lord, to say thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. As you know, we believe in praising God. We believe in shouting, giving the Lord a hand clap. And notice that the Bible says in this psalm, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. You know, sometimes we say, well, that's only in the Old Testament. But he says, make a joyful shout. And the meaning of that word shout is not just a shout. It also means a cry out. Or you could put it this way, a victory shout. You know, when you've been through so much in life, and maybe you are facing something hard this morning, there's something about when you do everything that the Bible says, and we do it in faith, like in this verse, is that we come this morning and we make a joyful shout to the Lord. We do it in faith. It is a victory shout that, how many know we do have victory? We do have victory, church, because of Jesus Christ. And this is not talking about being quiet. Now, I know everyone can be different. People can be quiet. But when you read the Psalms, notice that he says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. That is not to stay quiet, but to make a joyful shout. And he says, all you lands. That means all the nations, all the people, every race. He says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. So how many came this morning and can give Jesus a shout? Amen. A shout of victory. Because, I mean, if you really think about it, look, we're still here. Amen. We're still praising and we're still blessing the Lord. We're still moving forward regardless of what we've been facing. But this morning we have decided to make a shout for Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 2, he says, serve him. Serve the Lord. Look what he says. With what? With gladness. Church, He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Number one is that if we're going to serve God, serving is a lifestyle of worship. When we serve God, we're going to do it right, because it's for the King. Amen. We're going to serve Him right. We're going to labor for Him. And how many know that God deserves the best? God deserves your best worship. God deserves your best serving. And notice that He says, serve the Lord, but then He says, with what? With gladness. You know what that means? That means that's straight out a joy from your heart. It's not a ritual, but it's a joy from the heart. There's just something about when we serve Jesus, when we serve God with a joyful heart. Why do we serve Jesus? Because we are so grateful for what He's done in your life, what He's done in my life. And notice that He says, serve the Lord with gladness. He says, come before His presence with what? With singing. We are, this morning, church, we are approaching the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? And we are coming before His presence with what? The Bible says, with singing. Now think about it. There's just something powerful when you sing unto the Lord. When we praise the Lord or we worship the Lord. That's why it's important. Notice what I'm going to say. It's important, the lettering of the worship songs. Because we want to worship God. We want to do what they call biblical worship. We want to worship what God says. Or the Bible says. I mean, if there's a worship song that says that Christ gives us the victory, we're going to believe that Jesus Christ gives us the victory. Amen? And when you read another psalm, Psalms 150, the Bible says, praise God, where? It says, praise God in His sanctuary. Amen? That's why this morning, church, you ought to be praising God. Why? Because we are in His sanctuary. But then the Bible also says, praise Him with the sound of trumpet. He says, praise Him with lute, with harp, timbrel, and dance. You know that's in the Bible too, right? You dance unto who? Unto the Lord. Amen. We dance unto the Lord. And then He says, praise Him with string instruments and flutes, loud cymbals, clashing cymbals. Matter of fact, the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know, there's times that people say, you know what, why is it too loud? Well, the Bible talks about that everything that has breath praise the Lord. And the Bible talks about loud cymbals. Amen. That's why, how many know that the demons, the devils don't like when there's a church that praises God, that glorifies God, amen, that gives Christ a clap offering, that glorifies Jesus, that honors Jesus, amen, hallelujah, because the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. That's why, church, don't stay quiet. Don't worry about what your neighbor's going to say. Because you haven't said a praise God in 200 years. It's time that you praise God. That you open your mouth. That you give Him glory. That you give Him honor. Hallelujah. Because He has been so good to you. Well, it's because I don't praise God, you know. God knows my heart. He sure does. Amen. But there's just something about when you open your mouth. Amen. Let me tell you something funny. It's funny that we open our mouths for bad things sometimes. But we can praise God in the house of God. Amen. At least say, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm an overcomer in Jesus' name. So the Bible says, verse 3. Let's move on to verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. How many know that God is only God? There is no other God. I said there is no other God. Our God is alive. Our God has ears to hear. He has eyes to see. He has a mouth to speak. Our God is a living God. Amen. Our God is not dead. The tomb is empty. He has raised from the dead. Our God is alive. I said God is alive. He's at the right hand of the Father. Amen. He says, know that the Lord, you see, church, hear me this morning. You got to know that the Lord, he is God. You got to know him personally. Not just talk about him or that you heard about him. It's that we need to know him personally. Like the Bible says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. God made you. Not a monkey. God made you. I'm going to say that again. God made you in his image. God chose you. God picked you. And the Bible says it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. But then the Bible says we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's why I love Psalms 23 verse 1. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The New Living Translation says it this way. I have all that I need. Hallelujah. If you have the shepherd, you have all that you need. How many know that in God we don't miss nothing? Amen. We don't miss nothing. We have joy. We have peace. Hallelujah. We have the love of God. We have everything in God. God takes care of his sheep. God takes care of his people. God takes care of his sheep. And that's what I love about God, that God, how the Bible says, it is he who has made us. And then he says, know that the Lord, he is God. Because God, he's our what? He is our guide because he's our shepherd. Aren't you grateful that God guides you every day? He guides you for the best path, the best way. Best decision making. God, the shepherd, he guides his sheep. But not only does he guide his sheep, he also what? He protects his sheep. How many know that God protects you? God takes care of you. Amen. How many know that you're not alone? God is with you right now this morning. When you leave in your vehicle, God goes with you in your vehicle. When you go eat at the restaurant, God is with you at the restaurant. When you go home, God's with you at home. God takes care of and protects his sheep. We're covered by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. You shouldn't have no fear. Hear me, church, this morning. You should not be afraid. Greater is he who's in you, who is out in the world. Hallelujah. God, the Bible says, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That's what God gives his children. I know that God's with me. I know that his angels surround me. How many believe that angels surround you? Amen. Not only you, your home, your vehicle. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. The Bible says that 1,000 shall fall on your side and 10,000 on your right hand, but it will not come near you. So this morning, I don't know what you might be facing. Let me tell you something. Let me remind you that you're not alone. God is with you. I said, God is with you. Hallelujah. And you need to understand this, church. That God, he is good. He's a good God. People give God a bad rep. Oh, God is bad. God is mean. God wasn't there for me. God let me down. No. The Bible says, Jesus said this. I am, look what he says, I am the good shepherd. Church, I'm here to tell you this morning that we serve a good shepherd. I said we serve a good shepherd. We serve a good shepherd. We serve a good God. Either man is lying or Jesus is lying. I'm going to believe Jesus. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I'm here to tell you and remind you, church, Jesus is good. Hallelujah. And because he's been so good, the Bible says in verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. You know how they used to do it back in the day in the Bible, the way they did it? I'm going to give you a little taste. When the worshipers would come to Jerusalem, to the temple, many of them would travel from their homes or villages. And it is believed that when they would travel, they would climb hills. I mean, it would be a long journey. And not only the families, but the families would carry animals for sacrifice, or some believe also baskets of prunus as offerings. And they would all come in caravans. But check this out. They wouldn't, the whole family that they would come from their villages, climbing hills and all that stuff, or in a caravan, they didn't just come grumbling. They didn't come mad. They didn't come sad. They didn't come, you know, what's going to happen today? Oh, what's going to happen at church today? No, the Bible says, or they would say that they would come what? Singing. Singing. Clapping. Playing instruments. In other words, there were just, it's like you this morning when you leave your house, you ought to be thanking, praising, glorifying, saying thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you that I'm going to the right place. I'm not going somewhere else. I'm going to the house of God. I'm going to get my blessing. And why did they do that? You know why they would do that? Because they would prepare their heart before arriving to the temple where God dwelt. See, church, there's something about that. That's why what we do it in faith. Yes, you might be facing challenges. You might got into a little argument with your spouse, or, you know, you got a flat tire or something happened. But when you come to the house of God, we come in faith. And when you look at all the blessings, all the victories, everything that God has been doing in your life, you can't compare it with little defeats that you might be facing. Or little argument. And that's why they would get there and they would prepare their hearts. See, there's nothing, church, when you get to the house of God and you're here with a joyful heart. You're not mad. You're mad, and then you're mad at everybody. And because you're mad, you want everybody to be mad. That ain't going to happen. I'll tell you that right now. I ain't going to let nobody steal my joy. I ain't going to let no devil, no demon, no person, nobody's going to steal the joy, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Notice that when there's no joy, you're weak. I said, when there's no joy in your heart, you're weak. You're not flowing. You block the blessing. Good morning, brother. What's so good morning? Well,
There's people like that. You'd be surprised. There's a lot of people. Good morning. What's so good? My Lord, have mercy. You need a touch of Jesus right now. And he says, enter his gates. You know that in the temple, there was different gates that people were going through. One example is what the Bible talks in the book of Acts chapter 3, like the beautiful gate in the temple. There was a lot of different gates. But the moment they would get there and enter through those gates, they would what? They would sing songs of thanksgiving. Church, let me teach you something this morning. Anytime you get to the house of God, it's time to worship and be grateful and say, thank you, Lord. This is not the time to see how cute you came, who came cute, who's pretty, who's doing, who's not doing. No. You worry about yourself, you and your worship. You worry about you and your praise, you and you giving glorify God. You worry that your heart is right with God, that you are full of joy. And that's what they would do. They would get there, they would lift up their hands, they would praise God. And we're talking about they would rattle the place, praising God, saying, thank you, God. You've been so good. Hallelujah. And church, that's what we need, is that when we get to the house of God, it's time to praise God. It's time to do some thanksgiving. Hallelujah. We don't have to wait once a year to say thank you. We say thank you every day. In matter of fact, the Bible says, give thanks unto the Lord. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks to the Lord. Did you hear that, church? In everything, give thanks to the Lord. It doesn't say when you feel like it. It says in everything, give thanks to the Lord. You know what? I just ate my cereal, so I feel good right now. So I'm going to say thank you. Oh, you say thank you in everything, the Bible says. There's just something about church when you don't let nothing or nobody take or steal your praise from you. Then he says, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for this new day. Thank you, I get to open my eyes. Thank you, I could get off my bed. Thank you, I could walk. Thank you, I could go to the bathroom. You know, the Jews, they would give thanks to the Lord for every little thing. Thank you that I could walk, I could move. Thank you, I still have my shout. Thank you for a new day. Thank you, I get to wake up next to my spouse. Thank you, hallelujah, for this home. Thank you, I could drink water in the morning. I could drink my coffee. Hallelujah. Thank you for my vehicle. Thank you for this house. Thank you for my health. Thank you that I can still praise you. I can bless you. I can glorify you. I could cry out to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving, church. Even if you didn't sleep your 9 hours, thank you, Lord, I slept 5. Praise God, hallelujah. There's always something good to be, say thank you. Hallelujah. And he says, and enter his courts with what? Now he says, with what? With praise. Praise. And when you would enter the temple, the closer you went deeper, the more you couldn't get any closer, because that was only for the priest and the high priest. Listen to what I'm saying. But they would praise God. In the temple, there was a place where they would praise God. Hear me. The atmosphere would change. Because it was loud, joyful, musical, and it is believed that it was more like a festival than something quiet. Did you hear that, church? See, that's why don't let nobody tell you, oh, you don't have to shout. You don't have to say it out loud. No. You praise God. You honor Jesus. You clap unto the Lord. Because he's been so good. But get this. Only when you would go into the inner courts, only the priests, and then you had the high priest. The high priest would go to the holies of holies once a year. But how many are grateful that now under the new covenant, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, it is finished. When he said on the cross, it is finished. The veil was torn in half from top to bottom. What does that mean? That means that now, under grace, under the new covenant, we don't just get to go to the patio, the outside part. No, now we get to go all the way to the inner part, to the Holy of Holies, where the high priest was. He was the only one who was able to go there once a year. But praise God that now we have access to that place. That place. The Bible says, let us come. That's what Hebrews says. Let us come now. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, church, you and I, we have access to that place. Did you hear me this morning? You and I have access to the throne of grace, where we can go there at every second, every minute, every moment, every day. We can go straight to the presence of God and bless his mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now you don't have to wait a year. No, now we have access at every moment. You as a believer in Christ, as a priest and king, you and I have access to the presence of God. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Oh, it's too cold now. And then the summer comes, it's too hot. And this and that. No, we need to go now. I said we need to go now to the presence of God. Glory. And enter his courts with praise. And then he says, he says, be thankful to him and bless his name. And church, I'm telling you, there's nothing about just saying, Lord, thank you. I bless your name. I bless you, Lord. I bless you. I bless you. See, church, you got to bless the Lord. Sometimes we're just saying, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me. No, God's waiting on you that you bless the Lord. Bless Jesus. I said, bless the King. Hallelujah. Don't ask for no more blessings. Bless. It's time to bless him. Bless the creator of heaven and earth. Bless the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Bless the Lord. Bless his name. Hallelujah. He says, why though? He says, for the Lord is good. I told you, the Lord is good. You know that the Lord is not just good in his actions. We need to get this right, church. Because we think that the Lord is good only when he blesses us. When you get the promotion, when he did something, we think, oh, the Lord is good. No, the Lord is good in his nature. God is good all the time. I said, God is good all the time. Not only when he does a favor for you, not only when he delivers you, even before you get your healing, even before you get your blessing, even before you get the promotion, even before anything, God is still good. And his mercies endure forever, the Bible says. Notice, it's rare you see people, hey, God is good. But the moment they get a little glimpse of a little blessing, God is good. God is good. And they'll put a little tone to it. God is good. God is good. And God is good. And you notice you start singing, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. The Lord is good, church. Even right now in the midst, whatever you're facing right now. Look at Paul and Silas. When they were in jail, they weren't complaining. They were not crying. They didn't blame anybody else. The Bible says that they prayed. The Bible says that they sang unto the Lord while they were in prison. They were blessing God. They were singing unto the Lord in the midst of what they were facing. And you're in a little trial. God, get me out of here. No. Doesn't say that. It says, bless the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Jonah, when he was in the great fish, what did he do? The Bible says that he began what? Giving thanksgiving to the Lord. And the moment he began to say thank you, giving thanksgiving to God, the Bible says that God spit him out of that great fish. That's the key, church. I said that's the key right there. It's not the time to blame, complain, cry, this, and no. It's the time to bless Jesus, honor Jesus, glorify Jesus, because he is good. What are you waiting for? If you don't bless him, you don't praise him, you're going to be there a long time. You're going to stay in that prison cell, and you're going to be in that great fish. So if I was you, I'd praise him. And I said, thank you, Lord. I thank you in advance. Something good's going to come out of this. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, because in the middle of this, whatever I'm going through, you're doing wonders in my life. Hallelujah. You're cleaning my heart. You're purifying me. He says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is what? Is everlasting. It's forever. It's forever. His mercy, let me put it this way. His mercies never expire. They never weaken. They don't get weak. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. Like today, his mercies are new. They are afresh for your life, church, this morning. So this morning, church, I ask you, from now on, in the mornings, start saying thank you. Amen. Even in faith, I thank you, Lord. I thank you because things are turning around in my life. I thank you, Lord, because you're my healer. I thank you that you're my peace. I thank you that you're my righteousness. You're my sanctification. You're the Lord God of my life. You're the lily of the valleys in my life. You're the rose of Sharon in my life. Hallelujah. You're my refuge. You're my strength. You are everything to me, my God. Hallelujah. You are so good. Yes, I'm going through this, but I'd rather bless you and praise you, my God, because you are good. Hallelujah. See, some of you still don't get it. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, saying the pastor's on a good one this morning. And actually, I am full of the Holy Ghost. But when you get to that place, church, where you get radical for Jesus, you just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Please stand this morning, church.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.